As we continue through the book of Philippians, we're almost done. As we get back to kind of normal services after the tent meeting, after the fall festival and all that went on with that, and then Charlie was here in my absence, and appreciate him doing that. Now we get back. Yes, sir.
He said he liked broccoli.
Yeah, I know. I actually watched the service there. And
he said he had no issues.
He had no issues at all, but, you know, I'm still praying for him, you know. But just almost done, and I was originally going to try and finish Philippians today, but then when I got into the message, I thought, well, it's going to take more than one. So in the bulletin, you may see it just saying the secret of being well supplied, Philippians 4:14 through 23, but we're only going to 18 today, so which your outline reflects that. And in the preceding verses, Paul talk to us about the secret to being content, about contentment, whether in abundance or in lack. And he finishes with, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And an important byproduct of contentment, when you're content, a byproduct of that is generosity. Generosity, because when you're content, You're looking for ways to help others. You're not trying to get and get and get. You're content. That doesn't mean you don't have goals, and I went through that. But, you know, when you see a need and you're content, you can help others. You have that mindset. And Paul moves right into this facet, really, of worship, which is our giving, our generosity. And I've titled this, The Secret to Being Well Supplied. And Paul is showing us how the level of our willingness to share reveals the level of our spirituality and our heart for God. And we're going to see that these things are really connected in a lot of ways. And so in verses 14 through 18, let me just read the passage. And I'll even start with 13, where Paul kind of left off. He says, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he says, still, you did well. And he's talking to the church at Philippi, okay, all the believers in Philippi. He says, still, you did well by sharing with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And that last verse is where I got the title. He says, I was well supplied. He says, I'm fully supplied. And so today, part one, secret to being well supplied. You know, all of us want to be well supplied. You know, we all want to have the things we need. We want, you know, basically we want to be able to live and have, you know, have food and shelter and clothing and those kind of things. And you know, and let's just be honest, we want other things too. We want nice things and better things and other things that maybe aren't necessities, but we still, it's nice when you're blessed. And but he gives us here the secret to being well supplied. And so in 14 through 16, we see the attention of the ones who give. The attention of the ones who give. He says, you did well by sharing with me in my hardship. And what we, and he gives two examples. He talks about the Philippians, and he says, and when I was in Macedonia, and we know he was, there was a church there, in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians was a wealthy church. A lot of their people were well off. The Philippian church was not a wealthy church. These were just everyday people. Everyday people, like, we would describe it like living paycheck to paycheck. You know, and so what's interesting is, he says, even in Thessalonica, in the wealthy church, you sent gifts several times. And he said previously in verse 15, he says, no church shared with me except you alone. So this was one of the poorest churches, and yet they were the ones that were supporting him. And you got to remember, you know, what was Paul? He was a tent maker. He was used to being out there, and he would go to a church. He'd start a church, and he'd be, you know, out there witnessing and building the church and teaching people. And he was busy training leaders to take over when he would go to the next mission field to start another church. He was leaving people behind that were trained. And he's doing all this. And if he needed funds, you know, he would do his trade, his craft, which was tent making. But he, it's just like any of us. If I can do my job full time, then I can really focus on what, you know, God's calling me to do. But if I have to work this other job, it's going to split my attention. And so all that to say, Paul, obviously, as any of us would be, is more effective when he can devote all of his energy, all of his time, all of his resources to the mission that God called him for. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a missionary that works, and many do, and there's a lot of pastors that they're, we call that bivocational, where they're, you know, they work what we would call a regular job, and then they still serve in the church. Nothing wrong with that. But I cannot imagine it. And I was hired as bivocational. I mean, that was the, it was a part-time job, but it, God worked it out where I didn't have to have my other job. And I don't know how these guys do it, to tell you the truth. I don't know how they work 40 or 50 or whatever hours a week and still do a church and prepare messages. And you know, and all I can say is God gives them the grace to do that. And I'm grateful for those men. I see a lot of them when we go to these, like the association meetings, like what we're going to have in a couple weeks. A lot of those men that are there, that's exactly what they do. They work somewhere, and then they also have a church. And it's quite a full life for them. And so all that to say, though, Paul says, you know what? You enabled me. By your giving to me, you enabled me to do what God has called me to do. And so I'm going to give you three truths about giving. About giving. And it's out of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, which the actual whole passage of the Good Samaritan is longer than that, but those are the four verses we're going to look at today. And here we go in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And most of you probably know this account, this story that Jesus told, because someone, you know, challenged Jesus and said, "Who's my neighbor?" Okay, and so he used this illustration, and he says, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." So here's this guy, you know, he's going, he's on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, and if you know anything about Bible days back in there, and that was a very treacherous road. There was a lot of robbers, a lot of thieves along that road. Most of the time, people would travel in groups for safety along these roads. And so here was this guy, apparently was by himself, and the thieves got a hold of him. They beat him up. They stripped him of his clothes, and they just left. They took everything he had, and they left him on the road to die. First truth about giving: you must identify the need. I mean, you don't just give for no reason, right? Oh, I'm just going to give. I mean, and some people may, I guess, do that, but I don't. I mean, typically when I'm going to give, I've got to identify why I'm giving. What am I giving to? What, you know, there is a need, right? So you have to identify the need. And so in the next verse, and by chance, and you know what? There are only divine appointments for the Christian. You know, if someone comes across your path, God did that. There, you know, there's people that God brings our way because we can minister to them. And it's not necessarily giving money. It may have something to do with your time, or it may have to do with maybe a talent that you have. You know, there's basically three things all of us have to give. We have time, we have talent, we have treasure. Varying degrees of that. But we all have some time, we all have some talent, we all have some treasure. And God gave those to us. And He brings people our way. People that have a need in some way. And we are to share with them. And when you are the one that stumbles over this person, God's saying, I want to show my love to this person through you. And we need to be aware of that. Now, I know there's people out there that they're scamming. They're scamming, they're users, they're takers. Okay? That's why we have a Holy Spirit to give us discernment. Every single person I meet, I do not help. Okay? Sometimes God just says, you need to be careful of this person. And so you need to have a relationship with God so you can understand when God is guiding you. But many times, you know, I'll see this person, like God's like, you need to do something here. You got to identify a need. It's interesting. The priest did that. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he's walking by. He sees this guy laying on the ground, probably unconscious. And he's all beat up. There's probably some blood, dried blood on him and stuff. He's half naked or stripped. And he sees him. He identifies a need. But it says he passed by on the other side. He just kept going. And I have to admit, I've done that. I've seen somebody, and I've even heard God tell me to help them. And I'm like, I'm late, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time, someone else will do it. Right? We all got a million reasons, right? We passed on, we just went on and went our way. And there was an opportunity. But we have to identify need. If you're going to give, you got to identify the need. There's a need. This guy had a need. The person that you come across has a need. So we need to identify the need. Secondly, you got to show an interest in the need. You got to show an interest in the need. That's the second truth. First you identify. Now you got to show an interest in it. It's not enough to just see there's a need. You just walk off. But God does something. He piques your interest. He puts something in your head. And you're like, I got to check this out a little bit. And look what happened. Likewise, a Levite. Next verse. When he was at the place, he came and looked on him. See, he was coming by too. And he sees the same thing the Pharisee saw. Except this guy, he kind of walked up to him. Wow. This guy's really beat up. This guy's really hurting. So he not only saw that there was a need, he actually took an interest in it to check it out, to see what's happening. But then, I can't help him. And he went on down the road. He went on down the road. Not sure the Lord was pleased with that. Because, see, third truth about giving is you must get involved. You identify, you show an interest, and then you get involved in meeting the need. You get involved in meeting the need. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. I put bold letters there. He had compassion on him. And the rest of the account given by Christ, the rest of that talks about what he did. He said he bound up his wounds. He poured oil in his wounds. He put him on his donkey, took him to a town, got him a room, gave money to the innkeeper and said, take care of this guy. And when I come back, if you've spent anything more than this, I'll make it up to you. I mean, do you think that was inconvenient for that guy? Here's a Samaritan, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. Compassion literally means love with action. You know, it's not enough to care. You know, you can care all you want if you don't take any action. Does anything want to change? It's action. It's an action word. You see a need. You take interest in it, and God moves your heart in such a way that you actually do something. You do something. You know, it's like sometimes I pull off the freeway and you see these people, they're holding signs and stuff, right? Everybody's seen that. I mean, it's everywhere. Every time God pricks my heart, because he doesn't prick my heart every time. Sometimes he does. I'll roll down the window and the guy, you know, he thinks I'm going to give him money. Well, listen, I don't give money because I don't know what they're going to do. But if that guy has a sign that says he's hungry, I'll just say, you hungry? Yeah, you know. And I'll say, well, there's a Burger King right there. Because every one of these intersections, there's something, folks. There's a Burger King, there's a Carl's, there's a McDonald's, there's something there. And I'll say, you go over there, and I'll go buy you a dinner. Oh, well, no, I just need the money. Guess what? You're not hungry. You're not hungry. I've seen hungry. People will eat stuff when they're hungry. And if he's turning you down or she's turning you down, they're not wanting food. Now, every now and then, God does move me to give money, but it's rare. Usually, it's more about meeting the need that the person has, which costs me money, and it costs me time to do that. Maybe inconvenient. You know, that guy poured oil, this Samaritan. Oil was precious. Oil was like money in Bible days. It was valuable. And he pours oil in the guy's wound. And now instead of him riding the donkey, he puts the guy on the donkey. Now he's walking. And then he gets to the inn and he buys a room for the guy. And then he gives extra money to the guy. So here's a guy that gave of his knowledge. He apparently knew how to bind up a wound. He gave material things, the oil. He inconvenienced himself. He put the guy on his donkey and probably took him out of his way to get to where, you know, wherever he was going. But he had to go and put this guy up. It cost him cash. But that's what compassion does when you care about somebody. It costs you something. When you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, what did it cost him because of his compassion on us? We had a need. He identified that need. He showed an interest in you and me and the world. And he got involved, didn't he? And it cost him. Listen, when you serve God, it's going to cost you something. It costs something. So that is the attention. The ones who give. The ones who give are paying attention. They're looking for opportunities. And they're willing to respond when the opportunity presents itself. Secondly, Paul talks about the attitude of the one who receives. First, it's talking about the one who gave or gives. And then now he's talking about the one who receives. He says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. Your account. So what this is the gift is not for my account. I may receive a gift, but it's not for my account. It's for the account of the one who gave. It's not about me, in other words. Now, sometimes, you know, Paul was definitely in need, but he had already said, hey, I was able, whether well-fed or hungry, he was content. But he was also grateful when he got the gift, but he was happier for those that were given the gift than he was about him receiving the gift. Does that make sense? Paul's joy was not in what the gift did for him. You understand that? His joy, because this Philippians is the book of joy. And here's Paul in prison writing about this. And he says, you know what? My joy is not in what that gift did for me. Did I need the gift? Yes. Did I have a need? Yes. And you met that and I'm thankful for it. But my joy is because you have learned the secret to being well supplied. You have learned how to be blessed. And that gave Paul great joy. The gift was not for my account. The gift is for your account. Yeah, I got the gift, but it's a benefit to you. When I was in New Mexico, when we were in New Mexico, there was a guy named Randy there that had some rental houses out on the res. He was someone that came to the church there that we had there and that we were a part of there. And he had these rental houses after I got to know him a little bit and everything. And he found out, you know, he didn't find out. He had a need. And he talked about, I've got these two houses on the res and I promised the tenants that I'd get them air conditioning. But I don't have anyone to put them in. And so I said, well, I'll put them in for you. Because I've done that. And of course, he didn't know what I did or what my capabilities were. So he says, oh, really? I go, yeah, you know, I'll help you. And I wasn't looking for anything from him. I just said, I'll help you. He had a need. And I had the ability. And so he had all the stuff. He had the condenser and the air handlers and evaporator and all those things and the wiring and all the thermostats, everything that was needed. And so one weekend I went with him and he drove me. We went over to Shiprock and got out there and we spent basically 2 days there putting in these ACs. And when I got done, when we got done, you know, and it was all done, we fired them up, they're all working and all that. And we're on our way back. And I'm just kidding, you know, he bought me lunch and that was great, you know. So on the way back then, we got a couple miles from the house, he hands me an envelope and it's got some money in it. And I said, Randy, I didn't ask you, you know, I just did this because I wanted to help you. You were in a bind. He was in a bind. He had a deadline. And I said, so we got it done. It's cool. He says this to me. He says, Mike, don't rob me of a blessing. That's what he said. Don't rob me of a blessing. Please accept what I'm giving you. Don't rob me of a blessing. See, the gift was not for my account. You know, yeah, I mean, did I benefit by getting some money that I wasn't expecting? Absolutely. But the gift, his gift to me was for his account. Don't rob me of a blessing, Mike. I'm doing what God has laid on my heart. It's interesting how God works in those things, in those situations. Paul's joy was not in what the gift did for him. Paul's real joy was in what the gift did for the Philippians. They were growing in their faith. They were growing in their knowledge that God was, you know, even though they were a poor church and it was probably all they had to give, God was going to bless them, and they knew that. And Paul was rejoicing. Why? Because they were growing. You know, just like any small child, right? What's the most natural thing a small child does? Mine. Right? And what do we got to teach our kids? You need to share. We don't have to teach them to be selfish. We have to teach them to share. But it is a blessing to share. But you know what? All of us are selfish. I mean, we are. We all have that thing in us that says, I want it. My time is valuable. And I don't have time to spend, or I don't have the talent to give, or I don't have the money to help. And we... So it's an attitude. The attention of the ones who give, but it's the attitude of the one who receives that's important too. It's humbling when someone gives you something, by the way. Because that little pride factor starts working too. What's your attitude when someone gives you something? Third, the approval of the God we serve. The blessing of giving is found in the approval from our Father, our Heavenly Father. Look at this in verse 18. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. Do you realize he's in prison writing this? He is in prison. He's writing this. I have received everything in full. I have an abundance. I am fully supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you provided. You got to remember, prison, I think I said this a few weeks ago in one of the other messages, prison in these days isn't like prison here. Prison here, you get health care, you get all this food, you get your clothes provided, all this stuff. You know, it costs like $100,000 a year or something, some ridiculous amount for a prisoner. In Bible days, in Rome, you're in prison. If people didn't come and bring you food, you were in trouble. Because the Romans weren't going to feed you. And if you were cold, you were in trouble. Because the Romans weren't going to supply you with a coat. Remember one of the other letters? Paul says, have him bring my cloak. You know, they're coming to visit him. Bring me my cloak. Bring me some parchments to read. You know, the Word of God is what he was asking for. You know, prisons here, they got libraries. They got some guy in a cart bringing books to these guys. I mean, are you kidding me? Is it a prison or a country club at this place? But, you know, in Rome, it wasn't that way. You literally had to close whatever you were wearing, and that was pretty much it. And if you didn't have friends on the outside supplying your needs, you were in trouble. And here's Paul in this situation. And he's like, got it all, man. I'm fully supplied. I've received what you provided. A fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. The approval of the God we serve. When someone gives, a Philippian church gave to Paul, he said that was pleasing to God. That you got God's approval. You realize when you help someone, you got God's approval. It's pleasing to Him. The blessing of giving is found in the approval that we get from our Lord. And He gives this three things here in this verse. Fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The scent of the gift. The scent of the gift. Gifts given with the right attitude smell right. They feel right. They are a delight to God. The scent of the gift. Remember when they would worship the Lord, they had what? Incense. And they would come into the tabernacle there and they light the incense and it was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. It was symbolic of our worship. You know, when you worship God, it just kind of smells good to God. It's like, wow, my children, they love me. They're worshiping me. And He is worthy of our worship. You know, it's not like He doesn't deserve it. But when we humble ourselves before our God, it is just a sweet smelling savor to His nostrils. That's how the Bible describes it. And that's what that incense is, symbolic of your praises, your just thankful heart. You know, this is Thanksgiving time and we should have a thankful heart. And our attitude, that sweet savor of our attitude of gratitude goes up to the Lord. And that's my children and they love me. How great is that? The scent of the gift. It gives God delight. You want to delight the Lord? Just worship Him with the right attitude. It's a fragrant offering. This gift, and who did they give it to? Paul. They gave this gift to Paul, but it was a fragrant offering to the Lord. Because Paul was God's man. And Paul was paying a price for his service. But the Philippians recognized the need and they did something about it. And when they met that need, that was worship unto God. Remember what Jesus said? When the disciples said, well, how have we fed you? And He says, well, then when you feed the least of these, it's like feeding me. You know, when you go visit that guy in prison, it's like you're visiting me. You see, the way we treat one another, the way we meet the needs of others, God takes that on. He says, that's how you're treating me. It gives God great delight when we bless others. That's the scent of the gift. Then we see the sacrifice of the gift. A fragrant, He says, what you have provided. What is it? A fragrant offering. An acceptable sacrifice. Do you understand that giving is an act of worship? You know, when we take the offering here, and that's only one form of giving. I mean, we take an offering. Yes, we're giving. But do you understand that's worship? It's like, what is your attitude when you give? Well, I know I'm supposed to give. Why does the Bible say God loves a cheerful giver? You know, God doesn't need your money. God's not short on funds. When you give, that's for you. That's your blessing. When I give, that's for me. Yeah, I'm giving of something. Whether it's money, I mean, like I say, that's one form, but whether I give my time to someone, or my talent, whatever that, to put in an air conditioner for someone that had a need. You know, whatever that is, that's a sacrifice, and that sacrifice, God takes notice when we sacrifice, folks. He's aware. Do you understand that God's not going to owe you anything? God owes no one. Sometimes we get in our pity parties. Well, I didn't sign up for this. You know? Yeah, you did. When you accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and made Him your Lord and Savior, you signed up. You signed up for a life of giving. And it's different types of giving for different people. You know, we're all different. God has different unique plans and purposes for us. Some people are wealthy, and they give lots of money. And some people aren't. Maybe, you know, you're like the widow that has the two mites and gave all you had. But God noticed her. And He noticed Solomon. You know, when Solomon built the great temple, God notices it all. But what He's really noticing is our heart. Are we given as a sacrifice, or is it out of convenience? So that's a question we have to ask ourselves, because God weighs the intents of our heart. The sacrifice of the gift. We are to give our best. Giving is an act of worship. Look what Paul wrote in another place in Ephesians. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and what? Gave Himself for us. What? A sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. There it is again. Same three things. The scent of the gift, the sacrifice of the gift, and then lastly, the source of the gift. The source of the gift. Fragrant offering. Acceptable sacrifice. Pleasing to God. Why is it pleasing to God? Because God has given us something to give, whether it's time, talent, or treasure. Okay, He's given us something to give, and when we turn around and give it, He gave it to us, and we give it to someone in need that has a need. That's well-pleasing to God. It's pleasing to Him. Don't you just love it when you know, what do we try to teach our kids, you know, when your kids are small and you go to church, what do? You give them a quarter. Now put that in the offering plate. When it comes by, and they put it in there. And doesn't that please you when they do that? I mean, you gave them a quarter. Woohoo! You know. Do you understand that no matter what we give, it's pleasing to God because He gave it to us, and then we gave it to help someone, something. Some of it is very practical, like the gifts we get here supports this building and the church and pays salaries and insurance and, you know, things that are necessities in our day and age. And that's part of giving. But, you know, when you take the time to pull that brother or sister off to the side and encourage them, you give some of your time there. Or maybe you're able to fix the doorknob for somebody that doesn't know how or doesn't have the tools. And you go do that. God is pleased. Wow, I enabled Mike to be able to work on air conditioners, and he went and helped Randy. And that pleased God. The source of the gift is God. You know, everything we have comes from Him. You know, why do you have the ability you have? You know, like these people up here playing, you know, why do you have that ability? And I granted, you know, I learned to play an instrument at one time. I was lousy at it, but I learned the notes. what was it? It was ukulele in eighth grade, Camptown Races, sing that song, doo-dah. That was the song I had to play, okay? I remember that to this day. It was horrible. I had to sing it, too. It was really bad. Eighth grade. But we learned the notes, but, you know, I knew right away it wasn't like I was going to make a living at this, okay? You know? It wasn't like anybody was really going to care if I ever played the ukulele again. But some people picked that up, and I mean, they could play the ukulele. You know, they had a gift. And it's like anything else that we have, our abilities and gifts, God gave them to us. Not to keep to ourselves, but to share. Because many times that's how you get to share the gospel, is when you help somebody. You know, it's hard to listen to somebody when you're hungry. You know, somebody's really, really hungry and you're sitting there, well, you know, let me tell you about the Lord. And you may, you know, and very well you may get somewhere with that. I mean, it can happen. But, you know, Jesus fed a lot of people. And then he would talk about stuff. Because it's a lot easier to think about him when I'm not thinking about my stomach. That doesn't mean I can't learn something when I'm hungry. Of course I can. But if I have the means to take care of that little need, it first of all, well, you know the old saying, right? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You could have all the wisdom in the world, but if you don't have love, it is for nothing. And so you show love to someone by giving them a meal. And now they'll sit there and listen to you talk about why you gave them the meal. Why you were moved to do so. That it wasn't really totally about them. It was about that I serve a God that loves them. And that God enabled me to provide this meal for you. God is the source. The only reason you can do what you can do is because God created you that way. You have that ability. Whatever it might be. Sometimes it's not even ability. Sometimes it's a heart. I mean, my wife has that heart for people. She just wants to help everybody. You know, I'm sort of more skeptical and more cautious, and she's like, we need help, you know, whatever. So we got balance that way, you know? We have balance, but you know, I'll never have that heart. Now I've grown in that area, but I'll never have the heart she has because God gave her that, and I've had to kind of learn mine. But he's the source. You're the way you are because he made you that way. And he wants to use you just the way you are to fulfill something, some plan in your life, whatever it might be. Are you willing to give of that? There's that saying, right? I got more time than I got money. That's why I changed my own oil, right? Because I got more time than I got money. So, all that to say, if time is your most precious commodity, God wants you to lay that on the altar. You know, whatever it is that's precious to you, God wants you to be willing to give it up for him. Giving and spirituality are very much connected. Very much. Our giving reveals our heart. You know, for years I had this backwards. For years I had this backwards. In Matthew it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I used to think it was the other way around. I misquoted this verse forever. I used to say, yeah, where your heart is, that's where your money will be. Well, that makes sense. You know, if my heart's somewhere, I'd probably support it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says where you put your treasure, whatever your treasure is, maybe your treasure is your time or your talent, or it could be physical treasure. But wherever that is, that's where your heart is. And let's face it, folks, where we put our time and our money, that is where our heart is. I heard one pastor say one time, he said, show me your calendar and your checkbook and I'll show you where you're at. Where you spend your time, where you spend your money, tells what's important to you. Bible says it. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You know, people want to know, you know, when they give, they want to know, and we're talking about money now, but when they give money, they want to know that money's going to whatever. You know, whatever that was intended for. That's why we try to be so open with our finances here. That's why the whole budget and everything hangs in the window there. You can see where your money goes when you put money in that offering plate. We're to be good stewards. But you care. That's why we had the building program, Harvey do the presentation last week. Why? Because many of you have given a lot of money to our building program, and you have a right to know where we're at. You have a right to know what we're planning. Your interest is there. Why? Because your money's in there. You know, when you look on the back of the bulletin and you see what's in the fund there, that money, you're interested. We, you know, and you know, of course, all of us are a little antsy about it. When are you going to start building? You know, when, you know, we want to see it happen, and it will. But we have to know that our heart is where our treasure is. When we put money into something, we want to know that it's being done with. You know, when I give to a nonprofit, an agency or whatever, I always check, you know, how much of the money goes to the actual help and how much of it's just being, because some of those charities, you know, that's like 90% of the money is going to staffing, and, you know, I want that money to get out there where somebody gets the food or somebody gets the medical attention or, you know, whatever it might be. That's what I want. That's why I give the money. So that's just being a good steward, which we're called to be also. Are we good stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure? The Philippian church gave materially to Paul and received spiritually from the Lord. They gave, but the Lord blessed their church. Some receive and find it difficult to give. You ever meet somebody like that? They're always taken, but they'll never help. There's people like that. While others give and find it difficult to receive. It is very humbling when someone gives you a gift like that. It's very humbling. I've been on the receiving end. I had to learn to receive. You know, I always wanted to be the one to give. But sometimes God places you in a position where you have a need and someone else is able to meet your need. It was like when we got ready to move back here from New Mexico. There was a whole bunch of stuff that was happening, not just with us personally, but in the church we were in and all that. And there was a lot of stuff going on. And so we, for just a period of a few weeks or maybe a month, we left that church and went to another church in town. These people didn't, we were just going because on Sunday, because that's what we do. On Sunday we go to church, but we were moving, so we were going to be gone anyway in a month. And what was interesting was that church found out we were moving, and those guys came over, all these men came over and helped us pack and load. Even though we'd only been there a few weeks, and we were leaving. We were going back to California. We were never going to be in that church or ever be productive in that church or anything. And I'm like, I'm like, you know, I didn't expect them to do that. And they came and they helped us pack and they helped us load, and it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And I've never seen those guys again. That was over 15 years ago. Sometimes it's easy to give, and it's easier to give than receive sometimes. But it teaches you something. We must learn to do both with grace. You know, some people always want to take. They got to learn to give. Some people just always want to give and never want help from anyone. You know what? You need to learn to let someone help you when you need help. Because you're robbing someone of a blessing. Not surprisingly, God's view on giving is the opposite of the world's view. The worldly base their giving by what they have. Well, if I don't have it, how can I give it? The spiritual base their giving on God's leading and provision. If God lays it on my heart to give, I will give, and then I will get. In other words, God will provide. I don't give to get. I give because I know He's going to make it work out, whatever. This guy that we knew in New Mexico, his name's Glide, and he had a car. It was an older car, but it was, you know, ran well and did all that, and it was the only car they had. And God laid it on his heart. There was a need. Some lady or somebody, I forget the whole deal, but he came upon someone that had a need, and God told him, give them your car. Give them your car. And he did. He gave them his car. And a week later, it was kind of funny because there was a supermarket giving away a car, and he, I guess his wife or somebody, whatever, had signed up for it previously. They drew his name. He won a car. Now, I'm not saying if you give your, you know, if you got a really nice car, you can give it to me, and, you know, but I really need a good pickup truck, John, so, you know, just saying, you know. But I'm not saying that you'll get it like that. But God laid it on his heart, and he just trusted God, and God gave him something better. Now, God can choose to act that way, or he may choose to provide for you in some other way. But do you trust him? If God lays it on my heart to give, are you going to give? You know, the widow gave all she had, the Bible says. All she had. If all you got left is 50 cents in your pocket, and you got no guarantee nothing else is going to come, you going to throw it in there if God moved your heart to do so? And then trust him? And what did she get? She got mentioned in the eternal word of God. It's always going to be there about her. Forever. It's always going to be there. That's a blessing that's not measured by value. Like coin value. But it's funny, you know, the world, it's like, hey, if I got it, I'll help. But I remember helping people before I was saved, but I never helped when it would hurt me. Well, I got an extra $20, okay. And even that was rare. But things change when God gets in you. Look at the verse. This is the verse I had Brad read. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. What's that talking about? They used to wear robes. And when the grain was overflowing, and you know they filled up their thing, they'd actually take their robe, you know, and pull it up like this, load this thing up too, fill it up. But look what it says: shall men give? You know, God usually, I mean, God can do miraculous things, but He usually uses people. He lays it on someone's heart to give in some way, shape, or form. He uses people. He uses us to help each other and to help others that maybe aren't part of each other. There could be lost people, and He's using you to make an impact in some way. But shall men give into your... And it's pressed down. You know, it's like when you get a container, I think of flour. So you get a cup and you pour flour in it, and then you go... Now there's more room. You can put some more in it. Then you can take your finger and press it down, right? And even get more in there. And then just go ahead and pour it on top. Whatever stays on there, you know, it's good. That's how God gives, folks. He doesn't hold back. He's a plentiful God. He can bless you in a million ways if you just trust Him. You know, when we moved to New Mexico, my wife quit her job. I took a pay cut. We brought all of our bills with us, and we were short, but we were faithful, and God supplied. Every month, one way or another, God supplied. And a lot of times it was just simply people. God supplied. He is faithful. And, you know, and He blessed in other ways. I remember, you know, we had a Thunderbird there, and man, those tires lasted forever. Then finally, I had to get tires, and I went, and one of the guys in the church had a tire, he owned a tire, three tire places up there. And I said, I'm going to take it to Terry's, and you know, he's going to put tires on it or whatever. And I said, and when you get it, I know, because, you know, when you're out there going on the res and all these roads out there, it tears up your alignment and everything else, right? So I said, Terry, you know, when I get the tires, you know, I want alignment so that, because I know this car's got to be way out. He comes to me and he goes, Mike, it doesn't need an alignment. You know, those are little blessings. He goes, those tires are straight. I go, how can they be, Terry? He goes, hey, you know, it's a God thing, man. I don't know what to tell you. The tires are straight. I ain't going to charge you for something you don't need. You know, he can make your refrigerator run forever. We had this old car, this old Chevy car. What was that thing? We call it, I don't know, my boys, what was that thing, Jay? You guys called it the Posermobile or something. It was ugly. It was a station wagon with that wood grain, only it was like really old and the wood grain was all peeling off of it. It was ugly, right? And we took it, you know, it was running, but it wasn't running real good. And I finally took it to this guy named Ed, and he's a mechanic, and he said when he took the... Because I thought I was having a little bit of transmission trouble. It was still running. But he took the pan off, and he said there was like a million screws laying in the bottom of the pan. And he's like, how is this thing running? I'm like, I don't know, man. I just, you know, that's why I brought it to you. And he's like, all these things were laying in the bottom of the pan. He goes, I don't know how this thing was running. How did you even drive it over here? But God does stuff like that. You know, sometimes he'll just give you good health. So you don't spend money on doctors. You know, he's got a million ways to bless you. It's not always somebody gives you $100. Maybe it's money you don't have to spend is the blessing as well. For with the same measure that you meet or give it out, it will be measured to you again. In other words, If you have a teaspoon and that's what you give, then that's what it's going to be measured back to you in, is a teaspoon. Or if you take a 5-gallon bucket and give, then it's going to be measured back to you in 5-gallon buckets. So what I want to use is a backhoe. Because they've got a big old scoop on that thing. And I want to help you with a backhoe because I know God's going to measure back to me with a backhoe. Now, if you just want to get a teaspoon, just give a teaspoon. That's what this verse is saying, folks. Just read it. The same measure that you give it out, that's what it's going to be measured to you in. So if I'm going to give a teaspoon, I'm going to get a teaspoon. But I know I got a big God, and I know I can't outgive him. So I'm going to use the biggest container I get my hands on. Because you know what? I love this. Where did I see that thing? You know, you preached a message, John, with these songs. See? Standing on the promises. Do you believe that? Okay? Do you? That is a promise. It's not like maybe. It says for. For with that you do, it shall be measured back. That is a promise. You stand on that promise, then there will be showers of blessings. And you know what? Revive us again. It builds your faith. Because you know what usually happens? You start off with a teaspoon, and when God proves himself faithful, and he always does, I give more. And then when you know, it builds you. You grow in your giving, just like, you know, you want to grow in faith and grow in love and grow in compassion and grow in mercy and all these things. Well, you grow in your giving too. It's a spiritual thing. It's a worshipful thing. And you grow in it just like you would anything else. And so you start off with a teaspoon. That's how I started. Okay, I'll give, you know, a couple bucks a week. And then God begins to convict me and then I gave 20. I really thought I was in high cotton. Then I began to tithe off the net. And then I began to tithe off the gross. And then I began to raise the tithe. I didn't stop at 10%. I gave more. And then I would add a dollar amount to it. And I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on him. The only reason I can do that is because he enables me to. It's the only reason. Whatever you give it out, you know, and as God is faithful to you, it gives you more confidence and it builds your faith. And then you do more. And then you prosper. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're ever going to be wealthy. It just means you're going to prosper in your faith. You're going to prosper in your walk. You're going to prosper in your life. I looked down and saw that at the beginning. I thought, well, there's a good message right there. You know, just preach that sucker. Forget the rest. But I couldn't do that. So the same measure, it's going to be measured back to you. We would do well to remember Jesus' words. It is more blessed to give than receive. The first part of the secret, because this is part one, to being well supplied, is to give. Isn't that the way the Bible is? It doesn't make sense logically. Oh, the way I'm going to get ahead is to give it all away. Absolutely. What did Jesus say? Hey, if you really want to live, you need to die. Jesus said that. You really want to live? Die to yourself, and you'll live. But if you hang on to yourself, you're going to die. That's what Jesus said. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. He's a God that can do it. We don't worship a God that is short. Short, his arm is not short, his hand is not weak, he's able. Just requires some faith. Grain of a mustard seed. And he'll take that and do a marvelous thing in your life. There may be someone here today, you need to receive. Before you give, you need to receive. And what you need to receive is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the first gift. And once you receive that, now you're able to give, truly give. And there may be someone here today that you have never made that decision. You've never gone to the Father and said, you know what? God, I just recognized I'm a sinner. I've never asked you to forgive me. I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. His sacrifice paid the price for your sin and mine. And if you have never placed your faith and trust in him, you need this gift. You need this gift. For the rest of us, how's your attitude towards giving? Are you someone that just passes by, or are you getting involved? Do you have an interest? Maybe there's someone here today, your time, your treasure, your talent. Maybe you're good at giving one, but God's been kind of bugging you to give something out of another area. Is God touching your heart here this morning on that? Or maybe you just need more faith. Just like the father of the child that was possessed by the Spirit, Jesus said, "Do you believe I can help you?" And he goes, "Yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief." You know, sometimes it's like, "Yeah, I believe God will bless me, but I really kind of, I'm holding back." And we just need to grow in our faith a little bit. I'm here to encourage you. Trust him. He's faithful. He never lets you down. Trust him. You trusted him with your soul for eternity. You trying to tell me you can't trust him with your clock or your checkbook or your abilities? You can trust him with all those things. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today who would say, "Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to make a profession of faith. I recognize that. I need to receive the gift." Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Amen. Is there anybody here who would say, "Brother Mike, I'm in kind of hanging on to something that God's been kind of urging me to give in some way, and I recognize that I've been kind of holding back, and I need prayer because I realize God's wanting a little more of me now." Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, "I just need more faith. I need more faith"? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray for these. Raise their hands, Lord. Lord God, work in our hearts and minds. Help us to trust you in a greater way, Lord. Not to be satisfied with where we are, but to always be growing in these areas, Lord. As you work in our lives, Lord, help us to be children who please you. Give us the unction, Lord, to fulfill your desires in us. What you would want from us, Lord, help us to fulfill that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as the music plays. If God is dealing with you, this is your time. You deal with him. Take advantage of it. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you grateful that you were the one that gave first. You gave of your Son, Lord, that we would have eternal life, that we would have relationship with you. Thank you for that. And then, Lord, you gave us your Holy Spirit, and you've called us to listen to him, Lord, that he's our teacher, he's our comforter, he's our guide. Lord God, help us to be sensitive to when he moves in our lives, that we would be obedient, Lord, and that we would serve you in whatever manner he asks. And then, Lord, increase our faith, Lord, as we serve and give and do and all the things that is entailed in serving you, Lord. Give us the faith to reach out and grow in every area of our walk with you. And when we do, we know there will be blessings, Lord, because you have promised it. And we ask you, Lord, these things in Jesus' name. Amen.